Jim, good morning. What are you seeing? I just got a text from a former governor. He just voted in Rye. He said he's never seen the turnout as heavy as he is right now. What does this mean? I'm hearing it across the state in Amherst and other communities. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, good morning, Jack, Brad. Good to be with you both. And, you know, look, there are a few greater days than Election Day, whenever it falls. And I think we're going to, Secretary of State Scanlon said today, we're going to see record turnout. And I think for a couple of reasons. One, you've seen unprecedented spending by the campaigns, both campaigns and outside spending to get people turned out on both sides. But, you know, the issues this year are hitting so close to home. And I think that's why Republicans are going to do well tonight in that, inflation and the economy top of mind. And, Republicans have been hammered away on that. You know, that's something people are feeling when they get their fuel oil bill, when they pump at the gas pump, when they go into Hannaford or Market Basket. They're seeing it every day. And they're going to turn out and they're going to vote. And I think that means it's going to be a good night for Republicans. So I expect a lot of people. We saw that in Ward 1 in Manchester when we voted this morning. And so it's going to be a busy day in the next several hours.
What's your perception of the second congressional seat? I'm very interested in the second congressional district as it relates to General Bolduc, because I can foresee a very successful day in the first CD for General Bolduc, given I think that Caroline Leavitt's going to do well, and I think that Governor Sununu is going to do extremely well. And I can see that really helping General Bolduc. In the second CD, I think it's much more of a toss-up. I think the moderates are going to go very strongly for Governor Sununu in the second CD. I think the hard right will show up for General Bolduc, if you will. But I'm not sure that independent vote is going to be there. I don't know if I see somebody voting for Annie Custer and General Bolduc, but I'd love to hear your perspective of that.
Yeah, it's a great point, Jack, and because, obviously that's a race that we've talked about less, and there's been less national focus on it. There's been less local focus on it. And so it begs the question whether Republican voters and independent, leaning conservatives, let's say, are more inclined to vote over there. I think there probably will be some crossover. And, there are a lot of rural communities and rural parts of the state over in the second CD where they're hurting particularly, that are outside of traditional economic, engine spots. And so, I think that, General Bolduc has gone corner to corner in the state. I give him a ton of credit for the kind of campaign he's waged, that he's out, he's asked for the vote for months, for a year. And so I think it hurts that there's been less Republican spending in district. But I do think there are folks over there for whom the issues that General Bolduc is campaigning on are still going to resonate. And that's whether someone has spent campaign dollars or not. So I think he's going to do okay over there. That's going to be an awfully close race. Okay. I think General Bolduc's going to end up coming out on top.
Let me ask you this. Let's go back to the first district. You live in the states or in and around, I believe your main office is in the state's largest city of Manchester. I think you know that area well, Jim Merrill. You were out and about voting. We had B.J. Perry on earlier, who breaks these things down at a very granular level. You know him well. And he said that if Leavitt can win a couple of those Manchester wards, home of Chris Pappas, if you will, home of the Democrat strong base, I think, stronghold, if she can win a couple of those wards, she can go on and win that first district seat. Do you agree or not?
I do. And so I've lived in Manchester for 22 years, so I've kind of seen this up close and personal. And you're right. I mean, Manchester is a traditional stronghold for Chris Pappas, a very well-known name, well-known business here. And Caroline Leavitt doesn't necessarily have that kind of notoriety or visibility in the city. But if she's able to pull some of those more conservative wards and in kind of southern Manchester there, I think that's going to, and those numbers come in early. By 7:30, you're going to see ward, numbers and ward results in Manchester coming in. I think that's going to be an early indicator that she's going to have a really good night.
And what do you see there, Jim, if you had to say?
I'd say that, she's got, I've seen more activity than I typically do. I see more activity here from the Republican side than I did 2 years ago. So, I think that, I'm guessing that Chris Pappas probably wins Manchester. But the question is by how much? What kind of margins he pull out? And let's also keep an eye on some of those belt buckle Republican towns in and around Manchester, the Bedford, the Londonderrys, and the towns like that.
It hooks it.
They typically go Republican that Chris Pappas has done very well in his elections. And he's actually done a really good job pulling out votes and winning some of those towns or pushing them to a tie and denying Republicans a margin they typically get. So I think Caroline Leavitt stands to do very well in those towns tonight, which would be another indicator that she's set up for a good evening.
How do you think the primary played in this, Jim? We had a very contested primary in the first congressional seat and in the second congressional seat and in the Senate race. Obviously, a very late primary, so you had to kind of bring folks together following a contentious primary. How do you think that plays, and what's that impact on the general election?
I think sometimes, Jack, it depends on how people come together afterwards, right? But what happens in these really hotly contested primaries is you're goosing turnout early. You're bringing people into the process that might otherwise not be involved. And so that's happened certainly in the first and in the second, and in the Senate, obviously. There's a lot of spending. There's a lot of effort to identify grassroots activists and supporters and get them mobilized. And then once you've done that over a period of a year, you come to September 13th, you have a winner, and we had clear winners on election night. There was no recount. There was no issue there. Right. You knew who the winner was. And then those folks who've been activated for a Matt Maurer, for a Chuck Morse, for a George Hansel, their person didn't win, but they say to themselves, you know what? You know, we agree on an awful lot, and there's a lot at stake. And so it's easier to keep them fired up over a seven-week period at that point. So I think it's helped Republicans in this cycle.
All right, Jim Merrill, thanks. We'll catch you tonight, 7 p.m. Jim. Live election coverage. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Brad. Bye-bye.